You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1. Registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, or 2. Solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through Integrated Partners, a registered investment advisor. Integrated Partners and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of Integrated Partners and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580, welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio here on WTCM with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. It is great to see you on Thursday, June 12th, 2025.
There we go.
And the day is absolutely gorgeous out there. Just a smooth, reflective area on East Bay, inviting everyone, including the fisher people out there, to get out there and take their boats out. Let's do it. Here comes. I actually had a moment to put my hand in the water just to check. I heard you guys talking about that. You know,
it's freezing. Still cold.
It is rather brisk, but it's actually almost survivable, I think, if you were
I
to jump
I thought you were
going to
say you pulled out a fish.
Yeah.
Wow,
there he is. No, it's great to be here, and so excited. Man, there is so much going on. It's going to be difficult for me to be methodical this morning.
So we have a couple of messages text in for you guys.
You bet. Go for it, Ron.
Is there a rule of thumb for when somebody should start talking to a professional such as yourselves by age or by net worth or some other standard? When should they consult a financial professional?
Generally, if you're saving for yourself, consult early, and I would say relatively often, so that you're looking at the allocations that you're taking advantage of, how much you're saving, how you're protecting yourself, playing defense and offense at the same time in terms of your own saving and or issues. If a good marker might be when you become more and more uncomfortable with the complexity of your situation, taxes, am I saving enough? All those are great markers to say if you're going to be motivated enough to try to go to a class or come in to see someone like us, generally that's a good reason to come in and see someone about your financial situation and how can I do it better? How can I sharpen the tool, if you will, toward getting me or us to retirement or and through retirement?
And I know one of the things I really enjoy at the office is when I get to work with some of the children of our clients. And to watch these young people who are interested in their futures at a young age. I mean, we have people younger than 18 or, you know, in their mid-20s coming in and wanting to do the most with what they have, knowing that the earlier you start, maybe the easier it'll be later on. And so it's really fun to work with families to try to get that interest in making those good decisions right from the start and just teaching them along the way a little bit about that complicated world of finance and investing.
You bet.
I pictured Boss Baby when you said children of your clients. Like little babies with ties on.
Yeah, right, he's 3 years old.
What did he say? I didn't quite get that.
If you start to take your Social Security benefit in March, will they count your income that you made in January and February for that year?
Against you in terms of your benefit, the answer to that is no. All right, we've got a lot to talk about in terms of the economy. We're done with the questions here, Ron. We got those covered. Excellent. So there are many ways to describe the outlook for the United States and world economies, but at the midpoint of 2025, we are in June. Hello. One word has risen to the top of the lexicon, uncertainty. Yes. Uncertainty, yes. So while last week we were talking about all the clover was going to be green, so much so that Ron played Everything's Looking Coming Up Roses by Ethel. Mm-hmm. This gentleman says, a lack of clarity over U.S. trade policy with rising tariffs at the center of the storm has delivered a shock to the global economy. Now, this is from Capital Group. Their economies, Daryl Spence, Jody Johnson, Tom Cooney, and Chitrang Pirani. Dated June 5th of 2025. All right. U.S. GDP, rather, in the first quarter declined for the first time since 2022. Some companies stopped issuing forward guidance. Capital expenditures have been delayed. Cargo volumes have plummeted at major ports. Hiring has slowed. What's interesting, though, is many companies are hitting the pause button because they don't know what the rules are going to be a week, a month, or a year from now. What's interesting about that is we don't know when these deals are going to be coming through, such as in China. That just happened. And it made me think of a quote from Zig Ziglar, mm-hmm. getting cooked in the squat. He referred to that as biscuits that may have been cooked a bit too early. Well, if you pause too much, you may get cooked in the squat, as it were, because the markets have responded such that they're basically flat. By the end of May, U.S. stocks, as represented by the S&P 500 index, had recovered nearly all the earlier losses as investors turned a favorable eye toward the prospects for revised trade deals. So all that fear, concern, the issues related to the tariffs was a lot of news that many weren't overly concerned about. They were able to look through the haze, if you will, and see that there would be hope still. Many retail investors went buying, and some were concerned about that. That's classically been a negative thing. But retail investors remained strong, held their positions, hold, you know, that sort of thing.
Did you see just the inflation report came out? Barely moved, so inflation is under control. But with the first month or 2 months of the tariffs, tariff income has tripled. But inflation, wow. But inflation did not go up.
That's interesting. So,
but it's early.
Yeah, relatively good news.
Yeah,
we're in the middle of a fundamental. Now, this was interesting. They say we're in the middle of a fundamental restructuring of the geopolitical order as we've known it since the end of World War II. The integrated global system we've come to rely on over the past several decades is rapidly changing, and it may look very different going forward. So a global realignment, very interesting indeed to take a look at and think about. Mm-hmm. This is from the manager of the new I can't mention that fund. Such a darn good mutual fund, too. I'll just say it that way, yes. Been in business since 1973 and has some, I'll just say this, compelling returns. Because I didn't mention the fund, I'm good to go, right? I think compliance will even be okay with that.
We shall see.
Yeah, we'll see. No, we can't put that out. But because you heard it here first, I mean, we're good to go. So what that's saying is much uncertainty. That's the line, not just from the news, but it would appear as though these things are getting resolved as we go. And who would have thought that we would have had a relatively quick negotiation with China with more details to follow? It looks as though they're getting through some of the weeds to something better. They go on to say, I do expect the U.S. growth and global growth to slow in the face of tariffs and trade war uncertainty, but I think it's too early to call for a recession. This is from some very good people at Capital Group, and that's what we're reading from our economists in general, as well as what we think we're seeing in the markets themselves. they're always cautious. The market tends to climb a wall of worry, but the way the markets have responded has been relatively orderly and quite positive. We do have the pressure of a deficit that's significant, but if that bill, the big beautiful one as some refer to it, does pass with mostly unscathed, if you will, that could wind up being a positive for our deficit spending too, because spending actually comes down in that bill. I know no one knows that, but that'll be interesting to see what impact that will have. I would say that the markets will respond very positively to that bill being passed. That'll be interesting for sure. All right. Is it time for a break or can we keep going? We want to go on to Heidi's common questions for Social Security. Do it, Heidi.
All right. So this week we're looking at the Social Security newsletter that comes to us from Ed Slott and Company. And this week or this month, they're just featuring some of the more typical or interesting questions they get regarding Social Security. So I'm going to read through some of the mail that they got, and we'll see what the response is. And maybe if it's something that you're wrestling with as well.
Yeah, I think this first question here is excellent. We hear a lot of folks with a similar question to this. Go ahead, Heidi, please.
So the question is, the person wrote in and said, I just turned age 68 and recently filed for my Social Security retirement benefits at my local Social Security office. My wife started her benefits at age 62, 6 years ago. Now that I filed, we asked if she could receive 50% of my benefit amount as a spouse. And the Social Security Administrative Representative said she wouldn't receive the full 50%, but something less. We're both over full retirement age. Does that sound correct?
Before you answer, just to set it up better, why would someone, the wife, who's already collecting since 62, get 50% of her husband's benefit if she's already collecting?
Because she would have been collecting on her own benefit. Because you cannot collect on someone's benefit, a spousal benefit, if that spouse hasn't started their own benefit. So she would have had to start at 62 on her own benefit. And now that he's starting his, they want to know, you know, will hers bump up to the full 50%, which is
why
the
should
spousal
it?
Benefit.
Because she gets whatever is the greater. She gets her own benefit, or if it's greater, 50% of her spouse's benefit. That's how it works. Isn't that amazing, Ron?
That's new to me.
So cool. So if half of your benefit is greater than Laura's own benefit, we'll just speak directly,
right?
She would collect half of yours at her full retirement age.
Oh, at her full
whichever retirement. Is the greater, yes.
So remember, what they're asking here is the spouse going to get that full 50% benefit?
Right.
And they're saying they told them no. Is that correct? And they say, yes, this is correct. But it is a scenario that often causes confusion. Because your wife started her retirement benefit early, she is not eligible for the full spousal benefit once you filed and triggered her eligibility for the spousal portion. So what they're saying there is if you take Social Security early, before your full retirement age, you will your benefit will always have a reduction to it than if you had the full benefit, or your PIA that they call it.
Yeah, whether it's your own benefit or that of your spouse, half of your spouse's benefit, whichever again is the greater.
So to receive the full 50% spousal benefit, the wife would have had to wait until her full retirement age to claim that benefit and get the full amount. So once you start Social Security early, there's always some kind of reduction to the full benefit.
Net interesting. So inquiring minds want to know, we think. But it's you know, it may be in this case, she said, I don't want to wait. I'm not going to. As in any of these questions, you have to determine which is in your better interest. Knowing that you're going to take a decreased benefit, whether or not you're collecting on your own or that half of that of your spouse, which of them you're going to collect, and given how long you might live, and whether or not you really do need the income right now. That may be a part of it.
Right, and this is something that we look at closely in detail when we do those financial plans with our clients, is what is it going to look like if you claim at the same age, at different ages, if you wait, what is the overall impact over the length of your retirement and the benefits you receive? And I still am surprised sometimes to see the disparity between the numbers of just different combinations of ages that people can start claiming that Social Security.
It's amazing. It runs five standard variations of when to collect the benefits, but many times the differences in total income, $100,000, $200,000, and more in total revenue or income from Social Security. In spite of the argument that we often hear in terms of, what's the break-even point, keep in mind that is an issue. But also keep in mind, because you listen to WTCM, maybe walk your dog, relatively good health, you could wind up living a lot longer than you intended.
It's that WTCM listenership that really puts it over the edge, right, Dennis?
Yeah. Thanks, Dennis. All right, go ahead, Heidi.
All right, let's move on to the next letter. It says, I'm a 38-year-old widow with an 8-year-old son. My son recently started receiving survivor benefits from Social Security. But after reading some information, I learned that I may also qualify for a benefit as his caregiver. When I applied for my son's benefit, the representative didn't mention this option, and I haven't been able to find much information online. Do I need to schedule another appointment and specifically request this benefit? And the answer is yes. You may be eligible for Social Security benefits, also known as caregiver benefits. This benefit is available to a surviving spouse who is caring for the deceased worker's dependent child until the child turns age 16 or indefinitely if the child is disabled with a condition that began before age 22. There are just so many qualifiers to these benefits. So this is why it's really important to get some professional help if you're not sure if you are entitled to a benefit or not. It says, note that your son's benefit will continue until the latter of his graduation from high school, but no later than age 19 or age 18. So it takes him through all those school years, that benefit. So one crucial factor to consider is that your earnings can impact whether you qualify for a caregiver benefit. In 2025, if you earn more than $23,400, Social Security will withhold $1 in benefit for every $2 you earn above that amount. So your entitlement could depend in part on how much you are currently earning. If your income falls below that threshold, you would generally be entitled to receive 75% of your late husband's full retirement benefit. So, again, you have to qualify. There's some income limitations. It's not a general just yes. You have to look at the specific circumstances.
That almost sounds like the benefit reduction for pre-retirees at age 62. On up to full retirement age, the reduction in benefits for earnings above. I'm not sure it's $23,400. That seems like a bit of an odd number. But anyway, it is a reduction in benefits. But the other thing to know is that there could be a benefit for those who are caregivers and for those who are under the age of until the child turns 16, 16 years of age. All right. We have time for another question here, Ron. All right.
Okay. Next question. I'm thinking about starting my Social Security benefits at age 65, but I'm worried my spouse's W-2 income might cause my benefits to be withheld. Does Social Security consider our combined earned income when determining whether I'm eligible to take my benefits early? Additionally, since I work part-time of this year, I exceeded the earnings limit. Will I be penalized during my first year of benefits? So they say that these are great questions, and this is a common question that they get. They said Social Security only counts your earned income when applying the earnings test to your early claim. Your spouse's W-2 income does not count against you for the annual earnings test, but could cause a portion of your benefits to be federally income taxable. So that whole definition of income for income taxes is different than the definition of income for Social Security. And I know we had an article on that on the show. You have to make sure you're looking at the right definition of income between these different measurements.
But there are income parameters for if you want to begin collecting at 62 early?
Yes. For you, for your own income, not that of your spouse.
So if you've earned too much, you can't start collecting.
Well, you can. It's just that your benefits are going to be cut. $1 for every $2 above the threshold amount, which I think is about, do we have those threshold amounts? It's about $22,000, I think, that you can earn your own earnings, W-2 or self-employment income.
Oh, that's what they're saying. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought they were looking at your income and saying you're earning, you've earned too much. So you can't start collecting now, but no, okay.
So this is something, Ron, that we talk about all the time in meetings, because it's like if you are going to continue to work part-time or maybe you're going to be a consultant at the company that you're retiring from, you really want to look and say, do I want to just start Social Security automatically because I'm stopped working? Maybe you want to take some income from an IRA or your company plan to subsidize those earnings and then turn on Social Security when you don't have the danger of going over that earnings limit. Because your benefit, of course, as we've talked about, grows all that time that you're waiting before you turn Social Security on.
Each month that you wait, it grows 1/12 of 8%. And if you've earned, if your earnings, it's based on your average 35, your highest years of income. So if your income progressively increases, those previous years are dropping off as well. So there are a variety of ways you can get increased income from Social Security.
Quick comment, I think, from somebody.
Sure.
Not quick, but unless you are still drawing an earned income, take Social Security at 62. The Social Security income will immediately reduce your annual expenses and lower the draw on investment capital. Calculating the continued compounding return on investment capital will more than offset the gain realized by waiting, as well as effectively taking the benefit now and covering the chance of dying now. Go with what you know. Your thought, Mr. Dennis Prout or Heidi Cartwright?
The beauty of that is everyone has a different opinion.
Yeah.
Sometimes the numbers will bear otherwise if you have much of a life expectancy. But again, if you do need the income now, it depends on what your investments are going to earn. Only we can tell you what they're going to earn. I'm kidding. So no one knows how much they're going to earn. So given what you know, if you do wait, your Social Security benefits will increase. But, you know, the unknown is, will they cut the benefits possibly in the future? Will there be some other cuts related to assets or other income? Will it be means tested? We don't know those things. So everyone, again, gets to make their own decision. You may want to hedge your bets instead of waiting until age 70, which you can do. You may decide to wait until 65 or 67. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that go into those. You know, that guaranteed 8% increase each year you wait on average is compelling for a guaranteed rate. You have to look at how much risk you're willing to take in the market, and there's more risk there. So
depends on how you're invested.
Things, including everything you said, all those things come into play. So you really want to think through it before just making a decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, the earnings limit for anyone under the full retirement age is indeed $23,400 in 2025.
You were right on.
Yes. For once.
And I just want to mention that there's a great resource, that Social Security booklet that you were just looking at, Dennis. You can go online and you can order those right off the Social Security site. They are great. They're pretty thorough. And
understanding the benefits.
Yes.
Understanding the benefits. It's written in English, so I mean, for most of us, we can get it. Mm-hmm. Beth, you've got some great stats. We do have time. How much time?
About a minute.
Talk about the meta stats.
The meta, yeah. Okay, so Meta signed a 20-year contract with Constellation Energy, agreeing to buy nuclear power from the company to provide power to the regional grid. This deal marks Meta's entrance to the nuclear industry, and Constellation Energy subsequently shot 15% after the announcement.
Wow.
Who would have thought?
From CNBC.
The energy needs of AI and companies involved in that are just stratospheric.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So things you don't expect. Those mini nuclear reactors are popping up now.
Yes.
Companies are going to have
their
own mini nuclear reactor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alrighty, Beth Shire, Heidi Cartwright, Dennis Prout. It's Prout Financial Design's New Retirement Radio.